Okay, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul makes a statement in there that's been fascinating me for a while, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit with you today. And it's, I believe and therefore I speak is what I'm calling this. Here's what the passage says. It is written, otherwise written in the Old Testament. I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, what he's referring to is Psalm 116, verse 10. Now, Cricket and I have been studying through, just finished the Psalms. We did study that one this last week. And by the way, I'm proud of Cricket. She started in January on reading the Bible through, and we've been talking about it together, and we just finished Psalms. So she's gone from Genesis through Psalms so far. Congratulations, Cricket, on that. And I know there's others doing it. Ed, how far are you now? Ed's been working through, too. Jeremiah, so he's ahead of us, but we haven't been studying that together, but he's been reading through. I think, Tim, you've been reading too, haven't you? And some others have been reading through the Bible this year, and thank you for all you guys doing that. I know it's beneficial to you. So anyway, Psalm 116, verse 10 says, David says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. He went through a lot of oppression, a lot of trouble and all, but he believed, and therefore he spoke. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So we speak the words that are given to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had people ask me in the past, you really believe all that stuff you preach? You really believe what you preach? And I have to tell you, I do. I do believe what I preach. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't preach it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. And we sometimes are challenged by things. You know, people say, well, you shouldn't talk about controversial things. Let me tell you, there's no such thing as a non-controversial statement. I can tell you anything you say, somebody could argue with you about it, and they will. So do you believe what you preach? Yes. I believe that there's a God. Do you believe that? Only one God. Now, I believe he created heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? And made man in his own image, after his own likeness? I do. And he knew, he made us upright, and he knew that we would sin. You believe that? And you believe that he had, before the foundation of the world, a plan for Jesus to come, be the one to come and pay the price for our sins? And you believe that Jesus lived the perfect life, and he died on the cross, and 3 days later he was raised up from the dead, and he ascended back to the Father and sits at the right hand of God as our great high priest and our Savior and Redeemer? You believe that? Do you believe he's coming back someday? Do you believe there's a heaven? Do you believe there's a hell? Do you believe there's a devil? Do you believe there's sin and evil in the world? Do you believe that we can be saved of our sins and we can go to heaven and be with the Lord forever? I'm just giving you a sampling of things, but do you believe those things? I hope so. I believe them, and I preach them, and I hope you do as well. So, Psalm 73, verse 15, the psalmist, Asaph, was discouraged in his faith, and he felt like all the wicked people had everything good happen to them, and the good people like him had bad things happen to him, and he was about ready to say, it's a waste of time to serve God. I quit. It's a waste of time to serve God. Nothing good happens to me. What's the advantage of being a child of God? Then he said, if I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. We got to be careful what we say, because if we have our doubts and have our problems and our struggles and things, and we start running around telling everybody all the doubts and problems we have, we may get over it tomorrow. But the people we say that to may not ever get over it. You see, you can betray a whole generation of people by saying, preaching your doubts and preaching things you don't believe and preaching your discouragements instead of preaching God's word. If you don't believe, don't speak. Speak what you believe is what I'm trying to get at today. You remember John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, when he was in the temple. He questioned when he was told he was going to have a son in his old age. He questioned it, didn't he? And what did the angel say to him? Now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. He was actually struck dumb and unable to speak when he had a lack of faith. And we ought to control our own mouths when we have a lack of faith. We're told to preach the word. We preach Christ, is what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Especially the cross, it's the power of God to save. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. So the Jews stumbled over it. The Gentiles thought it was foolishness. Remember, we studied this morning in Acts 17 in Bible class about Athens, and the people that shrugged their shoulders and said, that's stupid, the resurrection stuff and all that, and walked away like it was a dumb thing that Paul was speaking about and preaching about. Foolishness. Well, when we preach Christ crucified, when we preach Christ crucified, we have no reason to stammer, to stutter, to hesitate or apologize, do we? Nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed by in preaching Christ and Him crucified. Richard Baxter said, I preached as never sure to preach again as a dying man to dying men. I may never get another opportunity to speak, maybe the last time, and I'm a dying man and people around me are dying people. And better sell them what you got to sell them when you have an opportunity. Abraham Lincoln said, when I hear a man preach, I like to see him act as if he were fighting bees. I guess he liked a lot of animation and stuff, which some of us do and some of us don't. But I like the other guy, George Whitefield, saying, my heart is full of love to you. I would speak till I could speak no more so that I could bring you to Christ. I'd preach until I had no voice left, no more, couldn't go on, just to bring you to Christ. That's what he wanted to do. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, Jeremiah says, and he didn't have much success as a preacher. I tell you what, Jeremiah went around preaching. Nobody listened. Nobody believed. Nobody obeyed. Nobody responded. He had zero results in his preaching. He had one of the great prophets of the Bible, didn't he? And he said, if I say, at one point he was thinking about quitting. I just give up. I'm not going to preach anymore. Doesn't do any good. Nobody listens. Nobody responds. I just give up and I quit. But he says, if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. That's in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. He said, it's like, I can't hold it in. It's got to come out. Whatever it is that God's told me to say. We sometimes talk in the Old Testament about the watchman on the wall. And that's really a illustration of what elders should be, as well as prophets were in the Old Testament. And in Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 7, Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die from their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. In other words, we've been tasked with warning people. Be the watchman on the wall, seeing the enemy coming and let people know he's coming. Now, if they listen, you help save them. If they don't listen, you've still done your job and you're clear from their blood. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, 26, 27? He says, therefore, I declare to you that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. He gave him the whole counsel of God, and nobody could point to him and say, well, Paul, you didn't tell me about that. Paul, you didn't preach the truth to me. Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. Nobody can hold me accountable. Leonard Ravenhill said, if Jesus preached the same message ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. Think about that. Message people preach, why would they have hated him? Why would they kill him if he's preaching, hey, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to have fun. Hey, God's with you and makes bless your life and that kind of thing. They wouldn't have crucified him. You know, we talk to ourselves, we talk to others, we talk to God. What do we say when we talk to ourselves? A lot of times we're talking garbage to ourselves, right? A lot of times we're telling stupid things, oh, you stupid idiot, you're no good. We really beat ourselves up and everything. Why aren't we, when we're talking to ourselves, saying, I serve a mighty God. God loves me. God wants to save me. God's word is powerful. Why don't we say these kinds of things to ourselves when we're talking to ourselves? Preach the word of God, the promises of God, the things that God has said, use them to build us up instead of cutting ourselves down when we talk to ourselves. And how do we talk to God? Do we use scripture when we talk to God in prayer? We claim his promises and speak wonderful things. We say, God, why are you not taking good care of me? Why do you allow these bad things to happen to me? Why is my life so miserable? Do we talk like that? Or we say, Lord, thank you for Jesus. I know that nothing can separate me from the love of God. I know that you all things work together for good, that those that love you and are called according to your purpose. Why don't we talk to God using his words and using the scriptures in that way? Speaking the things we believe are true. Why don't we speak them to ourselves and to God? And then speaking the truth to each other is also important, isn't it? We need to speak the truth to each other. That's really important. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19, verse 12, 10. He said that to Zacchaeus, the wee little man in the sycamore tree. And in the Great Commission, he tells the apostles, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Go teach all nations, make disciples of them. And back in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And go into all the world and preach the gospel of the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. He gave a great commission. Go teach everybody. Go preach the gospel. He came to seek and save the lost. That was his mission, and he's commissioned us to go out and take his mission out into the world for him. Now, we've got all kinds of people, solicitors come to the doors, and this one says, the pamphlet's blank. And he says, yeah, we're atheists. We don't believe anything. So I don't know what the atheists would teach you. But anyway, we go, we knock on doors, we go and talk to people, we get in the community, and a lot of people don't like that. In fact, somebody had a sign on the door that says, no solicitation, no politics, no proselyting, no fundraisers, except Girl Scout cookies. They're welcome. So bring Girl Scout cookies, that's okay, but no come otherwise. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope, with meekness and fear. If somebody comes to you and says, why do you believe in God? Why do you think you're going to heaven? Why do you go to church? Why do you believe the Bible? If somebody came in and asked you those questions, could you answer them? Could you give them a reasonable answer? He's asking us to. If someone, here's another translation of it, if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. 1 Peter 3:15. Are you ready to explain it? Are you ready to defend it? Are you ready to tell somebody what you believe and why you believe it? Are you able to believe something and then speak it, as we're talking about this morning? Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who's the head, even Christ. Speak the truth in love. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What comes out of your mouth? Do the things come out of your mouth tear people down, or they build them up? Wholesome language, is that what comes out of your mouth, or something different than that? Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put away all these things. Get rid of them. Get them out of your life. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. We should be gentle, not quarrelsome, able to teach, be patient with people. Those are things the servant of the Lord must be willing to do. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, Bill, you did a lesson not too long ago on salt, didn't you? And let our speech be seasoned with salt. Make it tasty. Improve the taste of it. Make it more savory. Make it more attractive. Full of grace. Let your conversation... Would that describe your conversation and your speech to people? Now, in Galatians chapter 1, 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul says, but even if we, apostles, or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we have proclaimed to you, let that one be accursed. As I said before, so I now repeat, if anyone proclaims you a gospel contrary to what you received, let him be accursed. We're obligated to preach what God's word said, aren't we? And whether an angel or an apostle preaches something different, let him be accursed. Now, Jesus never said we should respect other beliefs. He said anyone preaches a different gospel, let him be accursed, didn't he? We're told today, no, you got to respect, not only be tolerant of other people's beliefs and things, you've got to honor them, respect them, praise them, tell them how wonderful it is, whatever they believe. Well, Paul wasn't willing to do that. Now, in the book of Galatians, he goes on to say that although Titus was a Greek, he was not compelled to be circumcised. Paul would not put up for a minute with trying to get Titus circumcised in order to become a Christian, in order to be in favor with God for the gospel. And when Peter came to Antioch, Paul says, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. So Paul was willing to stand up to other people's beliefs and actions and things, wasn't he? Sometimes he would stand up and condemn things, and he would criticize it. Or if there was the truth was at stake, he would stand up to defend the truth, even against all opposition. James chapter 3, verse 17 tells us the wisdom that's from above must first be pure, and then peaceable. Wisdom above is first pure, then peaceable. We can't just accept everything that comes along. We've got to have it. It's got to be the truth first, and then we can be peaceable about it. And Philippians chapter 1, I want to kind of contrast here. You know, I talked about how Paul would not allow Titus to be circumcised. He stood up against Peter when he acted hypocritically. Paul was willing to stand up for things that mattered and things that were important. But on the other hand, in Philippians 1, he says when he was in prison that it gave other people more boldness to preach the gospel. And he says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. The latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul says some people preach in order to try to make things worse on me. They do it insincerely, they do it hypocritically. Others preach for the right reasons. But he says, whichever one it is, I'm glad the gospel is being preached. So Paul was able to tolerate somebody who wasn't always doing it for the right reason or the right sincerely or whatever, as long as the truth was being taught. But if error was being taught, he stood up against error. He stood up against false teaching. Oh, I forgot to print this out. But I've read this to you before. I've had it ready to print out and forgot to do it this morning. Give Me the Truth by Bill Kruse. Look it up on the internet. Look up Give Me the Truth by Bill Kruse, C-R-E-W-S. And he talks about, no matter what happens, give me the truth. Don't lie to me. Don't deceive me. Don't make me feel better. Just tell me the truth. That's what I want. And it's a great little paragraph there. I encourage you to go listen to and read. But Jesus said in John 8:32, the truth will set you free. Lies won't set you free. False doctrine won't set you free. Opinions of people won't set you free. It's the truth that sets you free. So if you're going to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? Preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and speak it in love, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. That is, you speak the truth even if your voice shakes. Maybe you're nervous. Maybe your voice shakes. Speak the truth anyway. Speak the truth whether it fills up the room or clears it out. Doesn't matter. If everybody gets up and leaves, still preach the truth. That's what we're called upon to do. Speak the truth no matter who gets offended by it. We live in a day and time where everybody's offended about everything, aren't we? Everybody's offended by everything. Well, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Do we see that? Why do we have so many churches today? Because everybody wants to hear something they want to hear. They got preachers that'll tickle their ears, people that tell them what they want to hear. Preachers that won't tell them things they don't want to hear. The early church, according to Ravenhill, the early church was married to poverty, prisons, and persecutions. Today's church is married to prosperity, personality, and popularity. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Vance Havner said, if you want to be popular, preach happiness. If you want to be unpopular, preach holiness. Does everybody want to hear about holiness? Probably not. It's a poor sermon that gives no offense, that neither makes the hearer displeased with himself, nor with the preacher. Sermons ought to either make you mad at the preacher or make you examine yourself, one or the other, or both. Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul says, now am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? If I was trying to please people, I could not be the servant of Christ. If I'm going to be a people pleaser, I can't please Christ, can I? Got to choose one or the other. You remember in John chapter 12, 42 and 43, many among the leaders believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith or for fear that they'd be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the human praise more than the praise of God. There were people that believed in Jesus in the Sanhedrin that wouldn't confess him. They loved praise from men more than praise from God, and they were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. Somebody said, I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. Wouldn't you? I think that's a fair statement. We should not be so afraid of offending somebody that we fail to speak the truth that will set them free. If we believe something, we got to believe it, right? But today we're told, no, go by what you feel, feelings. How often, it's one of my pet peeves. How do you feel about such and such? How do you feel about this topic? How do you feel about, I don't care what you feel about it. Tell me what you know about it. Tell me what you think about it. Tell me what you're reasoning about it. Tell me what you have evidence and proof for. Tell me what you think, not what you feel. We go way too much on feelings. Can I tell you what? Facts don't care about your feelings, do they? Facts don't care about your opinions. Facts are facts. Everybody's got a right to their own opinion, but nobody's got a right to their own facts. Right? Facts is what we need. The truth won't change just because you're offended. Do you ever realize that? Just getting offended doesn't make things change. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, beginning of verse 12? The disciples came to him and said, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended when you heard this? You've hurt their feelings. You've made them mad." It's what they said. And he replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." Leave them. They're blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, they'll both fall in the pit. Jesus wasn't saying, "Oh, I hurt their feelings. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt their feelings for the truth." And Jesus didn't pull back from that, did he? And people call it, you tell people the truth today, they think it's hate speech. Truth sounds like hate to those who hate truth, doesn't it? Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, "Have I now there become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Isn't it interesting how that if people lie to you and pat you on the back and flatter you, you like it, but if they tell you the truth, you get mad. Why do you get mad at somebody that tells you the truth? Are they trying to help you? Probably. Always speak the truth without fear or favor. Don't be afraid to speak the truth and don't show favorites, just speak the truth. Matthew 22, 16 and 17, Jesus was being flattered by his enemies who said, they sent disciples to him along with Herodians saying, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any." Now tell us, can we pay tax to Caesar or not? They were buttering him up, weren't they? Now, but it was true about Jesus, wasn't it? That he was truthful and always taught the way of God in truth and didn't have favor of any man? That really ought to be true of us. What you're looking for determines what you're living for and what you're willing to die for. One day soon, I'm going to get up and do a sermon on why they killed Jesus. Because that's something I want to talk to you about. But I think about, if you want to know what's really important in life, what was Jesus willing to die over? And what were the Pharisees and Sadducees willing to kill over? And if we know what they're willing to kill over and he was willing to die over, we'd know what's really important in life, wouldn't we? Because Jesus didn't do that about everything. He just had certain things that were so important that he couldn't let them go. And we need to figure out what those things are. I love Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, that says, "They overcame him," the devil, the dragon, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death." They were willing to die for their testimony of Jesus. And the word of their testimony meant they became martyrs. They preached their testimony, their faith in Jesus, even when it cost them their lives. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men, JFK said. And I think he's true. That's biblical in basis. Acts 4, 31, "When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." They prayed that God would give them boldness to preach the word when they were being threatened and being beaten and put into prison. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, "But after we already suffered being mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition." How often when we get opposition, somebody frowns at us, somebody says something to us, somebody's mean to us or whatever, we quit preaching it. We quit teaching it. Paul said, "I preach with boldness in the midst of opposition." And I changed direction on the sermon several times while I was putting it together. And I didn't really finish this part of it. I'll come back another time and do that. But I was looking at the preaching of Paul every place he went and the opposition he got. And yet he kept on preaching the truth anyway. He got beat up. He got stoned. He got put in prison. He got beaten with rods. Got beaten with whips. He got all these things happened to him. And what did he do? He kept on preaching with boldness, didn't he? He said, "Pray also for me that I speak, that whenever I speak, words given to me," excuse me, I have to look behind me to see this, I can't read it all. "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." Pray for me that I'll be fearless in the preaching of the gospel. That's what he prayed. You see, he said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." Are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we ashamed of the testimony of Jesus? We should not be. 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, or of me his prisoner. He goes on. Don't be ashamed of Paul. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, if anyone's ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. If we're ashamed of him now, he'll be ashamed of us then. If we refuse to confess him now, he won't confess us then. That's a sad thing, isn't it? Hebrews 11:16, I always love. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. You know, God's not ashamed to own you. We sing the song sometimes, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. God's not ashamed to own you. And you shouldn't be ashamed to own him. We're called to be bold, right? We're called to be bold. Are we? Do you think that describes us, being bold? Joshua 1, verse 9, Joshua was told, be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isn't that an awesome thing? God will be with you wherever you go. You know, Moses had the problem at the burning bush where he was afraid he couldn't do the job God had sent him to do. And he said, look, I'm slow of speech. I can't speak very well. I'm not very eloquent. And God says, look, go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. God said, I'll be there for you. I'll help you. And Jeremiah 1 verse 7, Jeremiah was told, don't say I'm a youth. Don't say I'm young and therefore can't do this. God says, I'll be with you. Speak all the things I told you to say. What did Paul tell Timothy? Let no man despise thy youth. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but continue to speak the word. And what assurance do we have? Isaiah 55, verse 11. My word will not return to me void without accomplishing what I desire, or without succeeding the matter to which I sent it. God's word will accomplish what he sent it out to do if we'll be faithful in presenting it. We need to practice what we preach, obviously. It's not enough to say it. We've got to practice what we preach. Your beliefs don't make you a better person. Your behavior does, right? It's not what you believe, but what you do that shows who you are. Practice what you preach if you want to be taken seriously. Your words and your conduct must match, haven't they? People may doubt what you say, but they'll believe what you do. And that's true. They're going to believe what you do. The best way to succeed in life is to act on the advice we give to others. Just do what we tell others to do, and maybe we'll be okay. I want this last little point here before we stop today is going to be on telling our story. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "For the redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." In other words, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Speak out, he says. Speak out and tell your story. Do you have a story to tell about what God's done for you? Do you have a story to tell about how God's blessed you and saved you? And do you have a testimony to give? I hope so. We all have a story to tell, don't we? We all got stories we can tell about how God's blessed us, taking care of us. Yes, you have a story. Well, Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." If we're not talking about God and what he's done for us, not telling a story about him, maybe our heart's not full of it. Maybe we need to fill our heart with thankfulness and joy and his grace and that sort of thing. So what's your story? What's your story about Jesus and his love? What's your story about salvation? Do you have one? Can you tell it to people? There's a song we used to sing. I don't know if we've sung it in a lot of years or not, but it's called, "Will You Not Tell It Today?" If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? If your faith in the Savior has brought its reward, if the strength you have found in the strength of the Lord, if the hope of his rest in his palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the Master has told you to bid them come in, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? George Whitefield said, "Other men may preach the gospel better than I, but no one can preach a better gospel." The gospel is what we're preaching, isn't it? So we said at the beginning, I believe, therefore I speak. What is it you believe that you're willing to speak? Do you have faith and confidence in what God has said in his word enough to speak it? Regardless of opposition, with no fear or favor, just do it because God wants you to? I hope so. We got a song we're going to sing, "Jesus Tenderly Calling Thee Home," our invitation song today. And if you need to start following Jesus and confess his name before men and need to start following him, we'd love to assist you with it. If you confess your faith in Jesus and repent of your sins, we can baptize you in the water for the forgiveness of sins and to change that relationship so you're no longer out of Christ, but now into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are and there's no condemnation. If we can assist you and help you with that this morning, please come as we stand to sing the song announced.
Jesus is tenderly calling
me home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love.